So, you want to do Facebook ads in your business this year? Listen up to this one.
You're listening to Inbox Besties, the only little guy approved podcast that gives you dangerously practical advice for turning internet randos into subscribers with benefits. You know, the kind that pop open their wallets and throw fistfuls of cash at you for your courses and coaching, not like that other stuff. Perf. Now let's get to it.
Welcome back, my inbox besties. Kate Doster here of KateDoster.com and creator of Ditch the Itch, Propel Your List, and Get Rich 12-Day Audio Experience, where we tackle everything from mindset issues to how to actually develop an offer to writing your sales page and actually getting people on your list. That's right, we jam a whole bunch of stuff into 12 days, and that's why there is no room for slackers when it comes to Ditch the Itch, and there's a whole bunch of bonuses that come with it as well. It is one of my most transformative offers I have ever put together, and y'all can get it by heading on over to katedoster.com/ditch. I think that you guys will love it, especially being podcast listeners, because we go way more in depth into those audio training. So today is the fourth installment in our goals and intentions for 2019 series. So of course, this isn't about my goals or intentions or how you can keep your goals and intentions. This is all based off of goals that I know you most likely have set for yourself that you want to accomplish in 2019. Our first episode was all about how you can turn into a conversion content machine, because I know that you want to publish on the regular those blog posts or videos or podcasts. The second episode, episode 72, was all about how you can prime your list to slay it in 2019, even if you have not talked to them in forever. And last week's episode was three steps you can take to make more money in 2019 without having to take a cold shower. And of course, there's a link to all of those in the show notes, guys. So for our fourth installment and the fifth one, I decided let's focus on a lot of traffic building strategies, because it's all fine and dandy if we've got these blog posts and our email list is on point and we have offers that we now want to give to people, but how do we actually get the people to give it to? So that's what the last two episodes in this series are going to be about. And today we are going to tackle that one traffic source that makes even the boldest, baddest, bestest bloggers and business owners' blood run cold: Facebook ads. So way back in episode number 43, we talked about ways to slash your Facebook ads, which, spoiler alert, it was better copy, just saying. I put a link to it in the show notes where I give more particulars. But for this particular series, I wanted to actually bring in someone who's running Facebook ads on a daily basis, not only for their business, but for other businesses as well. So I want to all introduce you to someone who's going to be a very long time guest of this show, Morgan Batista. So Morgan Batista is a very definition of a multi-passionate, multi-business owner. So Morgan owns her boutique Facebook ads business, which we're going to be talking about today, which she runs out of morganbatista.com. But she also runs the Mom Uprising podcast and blog, where she talks about how to balance being a mom, an actual person, and a business owner, and not really feeling guilty if one or the other kind of slacks off. I really love that podcast, guys. So I put a link to it in the show notes as well. It just started kicking off, but it's one of my faves. So in this interview today that we have with Morgan, we are going to talk about things like, you know, is live video actually still the way to go on Facebook? Should you ever, you know, boost a post? What are the three biggest mistakes that newbies and even seasoned entrepreneurs and business owners are making when it comes to running Facebook ads? And we're also going to tackle what to do if you get haters on your ads, because again, this year is all about mindset and dealing with all those little tiny things in the back of your head that might be pushing you from moving forward. And I feel like haters might be. So this interview was so jam-packed, Morgan forgot to mention her free gift, which she has for you, which is the 7 deadly sins mistakes that people make when it comes to running Facebook ads. And you can get your hands on it by heading on over to morganbatista.com/7mistakes. We cover 3 of them here pretty in depth, but there's 4 more that you definitely need to be aware of. Now let's go ahead and chat with Morgan. Alrighty, guys. So I am super excited to welcome Facebook ad wizard, or witchetress, I guess. What would be a female wizard?
I guess a witch.
All right. A Facebook witch, if that's what we want to call it. Morgan, go ahead and tell us anything else that we left out about the intro, anything that you want our inbox besties to know.
Hey guys, I'm Morgan Batista, and I am a Facebook ads expert. I also run a boutique social media management agency, and I am a mom blogger. So mom blogging is where I got my start in the online biz world. When I had my first daughter back in 2014, I had a background in journalism, even though for most of the 2000s, I was actually working in the nonprofit social justice field. But I did have a background in journalism, and I found myself as a new mom really wanting to express the feelings and the thoughts and all of the different things that were going on with my journey in motherhood. And I also was feeling like having a normal full-time job just wasn't right for me anymore. And so I started a mom blog. And I loved it. It was a really great fit for me. And over the course of a year, I really grew that. And part of what I used to grow my list and to grow the blog overall was Facebook ads. And eventually I had people coming to me asking me, hey, I see you're growing pretty quickly. I want to start a blog, or I want to start a business, or I need help scaling my business. Can you let me in on whatever little secret you have going on over there? And truthfully, it was Facebook ads. So that's kind of how I ended up working with clients now doing Facebook advertising, is people saw my success as a blogger and as a business owner. And then I was able to translate that experience into helping others grow their businesses and their blogs through Facebook ads as well. So that's kind of how I ended up here. In the process of all that, I ended up not being with a full-time job anymore. And so now I am a full-time mom blogger and Facebook ads expert and social media manager. So that's, I guess, the long and the short of it.
I love it. Morgan also forgot to mention that besides running her mom blog and her Facebook ad agency that she runs, she also has twin boys as well. So she's got three kids.
Yeah.
Three kids under four? Or no, how old is your oldest?
Yeah, three under four. So, or three, four and under. So my oldest is four, and then my twins are almost 15 months. They're 14 months old, so just over a year old now. So things are pretty hectic here. Luckily, my husband also works from home too. He does like graphic design and Google ads, and he works for home for himself as well. So we kind of tag team the kids, and when I need to do work, he watches them, and when he needs to do work, I watch them. So it works out really well.
That is awesome. And I love, just a little fangirl moment, I'm loving Morgan's new podcast, The Mom Uprising, which we'll definitely talk about towards the end, because I know you guys are all like hungry to learn about Facebook ads. But first, I want to know, Morgan, like, have you always considered yourself an entrepreneur? I know you said in your background story that you actually were working in the nonprofit. So is this something that you always sort of saw yourself doing, or because your brain was just getting spongy and you wanted to get out there and then you found out you really had a knack for it?
Well, when I was a kid, the things that I used to do for fun were things like I would create a restaurant menu on my computer back when it was like the first Apple computers way back in the day, and print out a menu for my parents and go like run a pretend restaurant. Or one time I made these like scrunchies, because this is the 90s. I like made these scrunchies out of, I don't even know. It was like these weird like weaving kit things, but I made these little scrunchies and then I went around trying to sell those. I did a lot of little money making schemes when I was a kid that were not that successful, but my parents were both business owners. And so I think that it definitely is kind of in the DNA to want to work for myself and also have that entrepreneurial spirit. I've never really been one to take orders too well. And so even though after college I did have, although I wouldn't say it was a typical 9-to-5 job, it was, I was an organizer, social justice organizer. So the hours were kind of erratic. You kind of worked by yourself a lot. And so a lot of the actual day-to-day functions of it mimicked entrepreneurship in a lot of ways because it was pretty free flowing. It wasn't like a go sit at a desk 9-to-5 kind of thing. So everything that I've done has kind of had this sense of freedom to some extent to it. Even when I did work for other people, like in journalism, you know, it's more deadline based versus, hourly based. Right. So, I definitely enjoy that kind of freedom with your time. And also the freedom to kind of pursue different things. So that's kind of why I'm a little bit of a jack of all trades, because I love writing and I love the nerdery of, I don't know if it's a word, like the nerdery of Facebook ads and like breaking down the results and the metrics and all that stuff. Like, I really like that. But then I also like talking, hence podcasting. So
so many great things. So, you know, I'll see why Morgan and I get along so well. And we'll probably definitely have Morgan come back on because I'd love to hear about this mommy blogging. But today, sticking with our whole New Year's theme, I know a lot of you have on your bucket list to start running Facebook ads. And so I thought that it was most appropriate to bring on someone who's actually running Facebook ads right now in 2019. This isn't information that you are getting from even a year ago because Facebook ads do really change a lot and it is getting really loud. So I would love it, Morgan, if we could actually talk about some mistakes that people could make because I feel like, one, always losing money is a big fear that's holding a lot of people back. But I feel like if we could debunk like three sort of rookie mistakes that we need to watch out for when it comes to creating successful ad campaigns, that would just be awesome. So like, what is like the number one mistake that your clients, you know, maybe have they've come to you in the past for, or you've just seen other people do online and you're like, oh, sweetheart, no.
Yeah. So the number one thing is there's a big button on your Facebook post for your page that says boost post, right? Mm-hmm. And Facebook will pop up with these things that say, if you spend $5, you could reach X amount of people. And this kind of is both a no-no and a total do it, depending on the situation. And this kind of typifies ads for me because it's a very nuanced thing. It's both an art and a science, and you have to kind of merge both in order to be really effective at Facebook ads. So some people will tell you never boost a post. And the reason for that is because when you just hit that boost post button, you're going to have very limited options in what you can do with that ad. So you're only going to have certain what are called objectives. Objectives are basically the purpose of the ad, which would be like engagement, which is getting comments and likes on the post. Or you could have a link click ad or a traffic ad, which is where you're trying to get people to click to say like a blog post to go check out your blog. Or you could have like a conversion ad. A conversion ad is an ad specifically geared towards getting opt-ins to your list or getting sales. It's basically getting people to convert in some way. So those are kind of like the three main types of ads that most people are going to use. And when you're doing some of these, you're going to really want to do what is called split testing, right? And I think I'm sure you've talked about split testing here with your like your email headlines, things like that, right? In ads, a lot of times you're going to want to split test either what image you're using in an ad, what your headlines and your ads are going to be, or what audiences you're targeting because you can target different audiences. And so when you boost a post using this boost post button, you are pretty limited in how you can test and the different objectives and things like that you can do. So in general, it's not advised to just hit boost post, okay, for that number one reason. The number two reason that you don't necessarily want to boost a post is because a lot of times it's going to be a split second decision and you might just be feeling kind of needy, like, oh, I'm not getting much organic reach lately on my page. I really need to get more people seeing my stuff. Let me just hit that boost post button and throw $20 at it. It's really tempting, but when it's not part of a larger plan, it's not really going to be helpful for you. So those are the two biggest reasons why I advise against people just hitting the boost post button. Now, that said, I do occasionally still do it. And I do it in, I do it in very specific cases. So what a lot of people do is they hit the boost post button on posts that are not doing so well because they want to get more eyeballs on it. I do it in the opposite. So occasionally I will boost a post that I see is doing awesome. Okay. So if I see a post is getting tons of shares, tons of comments, tons of likes, I might go ahead and say, you know what, let me spend a little bit of money to boost this out to more people because I know that that ad money I'm going to spend on it is just enough to kind of give it a little boost, right? And then once I give it that little boost, it's going to get shared a ton and it's going to get a ton of organic traffic, even though I'm spending a little bit of money on it, versus a post that's not very popular that you're trying to get more eyeballs on. it's not very popular for a reason. It's probably because the content's not great. So why would you spend money on something that isn't that great of content that people don't already enjoy? Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And we actually have another interview that's coming up in a couple of weeks when we're talking about Pinterest. And I asked her, do you create pins, like multiple pins for every single post? And she looked dead straight at me in the camera. And she's like, only the ones that do well that make me money. You know, and I loved that because why are you wasting your time or your dollars in this case, putting fuel behind something that stinks? Why not put gasoline on a fire and just make it go from there? And like you said, if people naturally liked it, even if your reach, so the amount of people that see your ads is small, if they like it, then chances are lots more people are going to like it. So I would love to be able to unpack a little bit about, like, you know, the difference between like the engagement ads and like the conversion ads and how all that sort of plays out. But I would love to hear, you know, what is one of the sort of like the second biggest mistakes that you see? Does it have to do with like that targeting or is it different?
So I would say that this goes with choosing the objective of your ads.
Okay.
So, you know, you were talking before about how things are getting really noisy in the ad space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, you could get leads really cheap. Like, not a ton of people were using Facebook ads, and there weren't a lot of big businesses as much using Facebook ads as there are now. Like, there's just much more competition in the ad world. And the way that it works is that companies, you're basically, when you put an ad up, you are bidding on that space in the newsfeed. And more people who are trying to run ads, that means more people are bidding on that space. So yeah, so basically with more companies in the market for ads, it means that your costs are going to go up. And so, you know, one of the things that I always like to start with when I'm running ads is engagement ads. So engagement ads are basically ads that you are running to get likes on the post, comments on the post, link clicks on the post, or video views. Engagement covers all of those things. It's basically anyone doing anything with your post. If they're engaging with it in some way, just like the objective would say, you're going to want to use an engagement ad. And the reason that I like to start with these is because they're generally some of the cheapest ads that you can do. And you can test out different targeting, different images, different ad copy, all these different things you can test out using engagement ads and see which one's performing the best before you start doing conversion ads. So even if your long-term goal is to do conversions, which would be when you want to get leads onto your list or you want to get people to a sales page, things like that, you want to first try out engagement ads because you're going to be able to test out all the variables at a much cheaper rate than you will when it's a conversion ad. Conversion ads are going to be your highest priced group of ads. So definitely do the engagement ads to test that out first. And the other thing that I really love to use engagement ads for is to just grow the engagement and the size of my page. So, you know, we can talk about whether page likes and the number of likes you have on your page matters or not. Some people say, you know, it matters a lot. Some people think it doesn't matter at all. I think it's somewhere in the middle that, mm-hmm. you know, once you kind of reach a certain number, and this will totally vary depending on who you are, like what your niche is, whatever. Once you kind of reach a certain level of page likes, you're going to see your engagement really go through the roof because it's like, you hit a level where there's enough people seeing your content that it's going to get shared and get more notice than when you only had like 50 people liking your page, right? So I feel like you kind of have to reach a certain level and you'll know on your page, you'll start to see that your engagement goes up, your shares go up. You can feel a lot more movement there once you reach kind of a certain level of page likes. Mm-hmm. And also there's social proof. So someone who has 1,000 page likes probably will be viewed as having more social proof than someone who has 50 page likes, right? So I like to use engagement ads to grow the page because every time someone likes your post that you're running an ad to, you can actually invite them to like your page. So I used engagement ads with just about $3 to $5 a day towards engagement ads on a post that I knew was doing organically really well. to grow my mom uprising page from about 700 likes to about 4,500 likes in a few months. Nice. So that would be my recommendation if you have a small ad budget and you're just kind of at the beginning where you just want to start growing a little bit, is just to do something like that. Find a post that you see is already performing really well on your page. Do an engagement ad to it for just $3 to $5 a day. And over the course of time, you're going to see that ad budget really bring people into your page, which in the long term will reduce those costs for, say, like lead conversions, getting people to grow your list. That's definitely what I love. And I kind of like forgot where we even started with this, but bottom line, engagement ads, they're the best bang for your buck right now.
Excellent. So if I wanted to like cheat the system and be like, oh, I'm going to run an engagement ad, but it's going to be into my, like my landing page for like my webinar or my freebie, like would that work, or am I still going to end up paying a lot of money to get people to join my list because like Facebook knows better?
So if I'm going to be honest, like you're going to spend money, like that's, you're running ads, you're paying for advertisement. So you're going to need an ad budget if you want like to grow your list, if you want to have a launch, if you want to have an effective funnel, you are going to have to spend some ad money. Like it's going to have to be more than $3 to $5 a day. Once you kind of get to that point of saying, okay, I want a really like banging evergreen funnel, right? Like, so if you're not at that point where you're willing to spend, I would say like $50 a day on ads, then doing these tests with the engagement ads is a good way to go. But I wouldn't say you're so much cheating the system as testing at a lower rate and also growing engagement on your page at a lower rate than you would at conversion ads. So if I break it down really basically, the difference between an engagement ad and a conversion ad is that Facebook knows the behavior of its users. And this gets kind of creepy, but Facebook can tell who is more likely to just engage with the post versus someone who is more likely to click a link and go to a landing page and actually convert to a lead. So when you choose a conversion ad, Facebook is going to try to show it to people who they think are going to actually click through and convert the full way through. So on the surface, it would seem like you would want to choose that option, but Facebook also likes you to have a certain number of conversions per week. Okay. Otherwise you're going to be kind of downgraded in the system. So in general, you want to get like 50 conversions per week. And the average price for a conversion is going to be anywhere between a couple bucks all the way up to $25 or more, depending on your niche and all these different things. So if you just say that your average lead, the average cost per person coming onto your list through a Facebook ad, let's just say it's $5 and you want 50 of those per week, that's $250 per week or about $1,000 a month in ad spend. So if you're ready to kind of like make the leap to spending that much, and you want to really like have like a good engine of Facebook ads chugging along, then definitely like getting into the conversion ads is a good place to go. But when you're just kind of starting out and you're not even sure, first of all, that your funnel is really effective, or two, whether your targeting and everything and your ad copy and your actual ad is effective, then starting with engagement ads or even a link click ad is a good place to start. Because you don't want to just spend all your money on those conversion ads testing, if that makes sense.
I absolutely love that. And I hope that that takes a little bit of fear out of running with ads. And there's a couple of things that you said a little while back, but I have a personal question to ask you about these engagement style ads. So I know like a lot of people, like Emily Hirsch talks about it on her podcast. I'm sure Rick Mulready has talked about it. Like, do you think for those engagement ads that like running them to like a Facebook Live is a smart idea? Or do you feel like people don't necessarily stick around? Like, do you need to be like really sort of strategic when you're actually planning video content to share because people just kind of tune in and out? How do you feel about that?
I think it just really is going to depend on your audience and it's something you're going to have to test. So for me with mom stuff, I noticed that my video content does not do as well. And I think it's just because of the behavior of my audience. Like for me, For example, I'm kind of my ideal user. A lot of us are our ideal clients in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And if I think about it, like a lot of times what I'm doing on Facebook, I'm not able to actually watch videos because I'm like putting babies to sleep or holding a sleeping baby, or my kids are sleeping in the next room and I don't want the sound on, or I can't find my headphones. And so actually like written content works better for me. That's what I'm going to engage with better. And that's what a lot of my ideal audience is going to engage with better. Now, other folks, it's going to be video. So this is something that I think there is not one answer.
If I walked over to your laptop, how many tabs are I see open? 1, 2, 27. And let's be real, you're probably listening to this podcast with one earbud in, and you're driving or doing the dishes, but secretly you're mapping out your next new course, which will definitely propel you to six figures and beyond, unlike those eight other half-finished stinker courses that are just clogging up your hard drive on your computer. Those things are going nowhere. But then you remember you haven't actually done a blog post in like 2 months, so you should probably do that, but your traffic's like 5, so that really doesn't matter that much, especially since you're now getting the red arrow of death from your Facebook business page. So clearly you now need to do a live, but you got to clean up the house and make sure that the kids aren't around and get that done. So then maybe you'll go back to the course, but then I don't know about the blog post, but like, it's really gonna be that effective. And then you just get so frazzled and so overwhelmed, they just like, screw it, I'm watching the Gilmore Girls again. Hashtag Team Jess forever. The problem is that you're trying to run your business from a pretty notebook that you got from Target that you've lost, and the scrap pieces of paper that you now use to kind of make up for it, which have a never ending to-do list that never gets done because you're so scattered. What you need is a simple system that was created for somebody like you, an uber passionate, super scattered, shiny object prone creative entrepreneur with a passion for business, but organization's not really your strong point. Created by somebody who actually gets it, the most anti-type A personality that there is, me. What you need is Trelling for Traffic. Trelling for Traffic is literally your business in a box. See, unlike that pretty notebook that we still can't find, Trelling for Traffic actually comes with boards and workflows that you can use to run your business. I'm talking about breaking down everything into the nitty-grittiest smallest parts so nothing slips through the cracks. Everything from what you need to do when with a mega launch to how to use Pinterest without actually having to pay for a scheduler. And of course, my favorite, how to plan out your quarter, week, and day, because if I'm looking at everything in my week, I'm gonna skip around. That's why my day board is my favorite. Now, to get your hands on all of these 22 boards and 15 workflows, which have been called life-changing by not one, but several of the 100 students that invested in this course the first 3 days it was open, craziness, right? Head on over to trellingfortraffic.com. That's trellingfortraffic.com. And guys, I didn't even tell you the best part. It's only $24. Isn't your sanity worth $24? Especially when I will give you that recognition and revenue that your business deserves. So head on over to trellingfortraffic.com right now.
You know, 2 years ago, it would definitely be like go with a live stream because there was, you know, video was new, live streaming was new, yeah. And there was kind of like a lot of excitement around it. And, you know, some people might still say that video is the best. And I think for a lot of people, it will be. But just because that is what some experts might say is mm-hmm. going to be generally best, don't assume it's going to be best for you. Think about who your audience is and just look at your actual page and see what's performing the best. Like if your live streams never perform well on your page, like again, why would you spend ad money on that? Look at what's actually performing well. And for me, like doing mom stuff, for example, and I think this will apply to a lot of different industries. Like if you are more of like a, say like a solopreneur, like that kind of, it might be a long text, touchy-feely post with like an eye-catching image. Like the post that has gotten me the most engagement and grown my blog the most is just like a picture of me with my kids. And it's like this super long post just about like what it's like being a mom. Mm-hmm. That gets way more engagement for me personally than a video or a live stream. But now let's say that you might be someone who teaches others how to build websites. A tutorial or like a live video of you showing people how to set like install Divi on WordPress, like that might perform way better. So it's going to be something to test out and see what works best for you and your audience.
Oh, so many great gems there. So I am wondering if maybe this is mistake number three, but I'm not quite sure. You had mentioned this when we talked about boosting post, and that is not actually having a plan for your ads. So I guess, is that one of your biggest mistakes? By dropping the gun, guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that most people who are hitting the boost post button, it's because they don't have a plan, and you're just kind of like, either drawn in by Facebook's own marketing saying, hey, spend $5 and you can reach 3,000 people or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's tempting. And if you don't have a plan, that sounds good. And also you might just like freak out. You might be like, you know what? I have this goal I want to hit. So let me just hit this boost post button and hopefully I hit that goal, instead of sitting down and actually thinking through, okay, I have a launch coming up. What do I want to achieve in that launch? How much money do I want to make? How many new customers, how many new clients do I want to bring in? And then reverse engineering that back to figure out, okay, how much do I need to spend on ads to actually get that goal? You know, a lot of people will just say, well, I just want to spend X amount on ads, versus thinking through, okay, I want to make $10,000. How much will I need to spend on ads to make $10,000? And you can actually reverse engineer that if you know like what you usually, your funnel usually converts at. So that's all just math stuff, and it's all geekery and nerdery, but like you can easily figure all this stuff out. It's all figure outable even without someone like me, like just doing some Googles. If you Google, for example, James Wedmore, like ad conversion calculator or something like that, he's got a really great one that you can look at. Zach Spuckler has like a workbook that has different conversion costs and things like that. So it you don't have to just hire someone like me, although I would love for you to do that.
No, I guess there's links in the show notes.
Yeah, there's tons of great ways to figure out what your ad cost should be and make a plan. But if you are totally brand new to this, like, don't just hit the boost post button. Think through what your goals actually are and then what you need to do to achieve those goals.
That is awesome. Oh my goodness. I could talk to Morgan all day, and I definitely have a feeling we're going to have Morgan on definitely for a part two and for a secret episode that I have to talk to her about later that I think you guys will really enjoy. A Friday style episodes, if y'all know what I mean by that. So here's, again, another selfish question, and then we can wrap it up. You can tell us where they can hang out with you and how they can be one of your clients if you're still accepting. And I know your roster is a little full right now, but who knows? Maybe this will squeak you guys in. What is the biggest mistake that, this is a hairy question, that people make with their ads, like the actual ad creative? So what do you mean by creative, guys? Like the copy, the wording, like the picture versus the video? What are like some big Facebook no-nos? Facebook's like, nope, I hate you. Rejected, rejected, rejected. I'm not going to send it to you. Like what? Now, I know you give some really great examples of, you know, mirror what's already doing well, you know, test out lower, but like what are some big flashing no-nos Facebook land-wise and like consumer land-wise?
So just from a very basic level, too much text in an image. That's going to get you either not approved on Facebook, or that's going to limit your reach. So there's a really simple way to tell whether there's too much text in a graphic that you're using. If you just Google, I mean, I'm sure we could link up the actual tool, but if you just Google Facebook text overlay, it's going to bring you up a link, and you're going to go in there and you can actually upload your, this is totally free. It's a Facebook tool that you upload the image that you want to use, and it'll tell you whether you're using too much text. So you want to be using 20% of the image is text or less in order to get the most reach for your ad. So that's like a really basic thing that a lot of people don't know about. That's number one. Number two is Facebook will decline your ad if you are using the word you, your, things like that too much. Yeah, it's really kind of bizarre, but they don't want their users to feel like they're being targeted. Even though we are targeting people based on their interests and things like that, they don't want people to feel too creeped out, even though we all already are creeped out by Facebook ads. Let's be real.
I'm pretty sure I've seen an ad that's like, you forgot this in your shopping cart. Like, wait a minute, excuse me, Amazon.
Yeah. So it definitely is creepy, and not all, like, that would be a whole separate thing to talk about how to do that, which is called retargeting. But if you use too many yous in your copy, that's going to get you denied. Also, if you are, for example, targeting people based on like health conditions or things like that, you're going to get denied. And this seems kind of like, basic, but like I have a client, for example, who, she sells products for kids who have eczema. And it's not like a, it's not medicine or anything like that. It's like a physical product that helps them not scratch themselves, right? Because they're itchy. And we can't use the word eczema barely at all ever in any ad copy. It always gets denied.
Could you use the word itchy?
Yep. Or so no? Like, that's a really good example is you can say like, help your kids who have itchy skin versus saying help your kid who has eczema. So that will apply to anything that's like medical related or anything that Facebook feels is being too basically creepy with the ads.
oh, so I can't just say I'm retargeting you.
Well, you can. Like, so that's the weird thing is that like if you are targeting people based on some kind of condition or something like that, Facebook will not allow it. But you can say target moms and say, hey, moms. Have you seen XYZ? Or hey moms, like, are you tired of feeling disconnected or something like that? Like you can do things like that, but it's very case by case based. But those are some of the things that I've just seen, like people wondering why their ads are not getting approved are some of those things. Also, before and after pictures, Facebook ads don't like those. Some things like that. And if you actually go, you can look up what the Facebook terms are for when you're running ads. And usually that will explain why your ads are not being approved. But those are some of like the big common mistakes that people make and just the actual copy. One other little tidbit I will give you if you're trying to get like the best conversions, if you're going to get the most link clicks, things like that, is you want to have a link. So say you're running an ad to a landing page. Mm-hmm. You want to have your link, what's called above the fold. So if you're on like a mobile device and people are seeing your ad, you want them to actually see a link to where you want them to go above the little tiny text that says read more, you know, like how you can click this read more. If you have a link above that, that's going to increase your conversion rate. So, or your click-throughs. So one little tidbit to try there.
Absolutely love that. So before we wrap up, is there anything personally that you've seen from working with your clients? I know you do a lot of like wellnesspreneurs, you know, yoga. We've got the one who helps everyone with their scratchy skin, all that greatness. Anything that maybe worked like gangbusters, say last year or even the beginning of 2018, but like now just kind of isn't, it sort of played out.
I wouldn't say that there's anything in particular. It's more just a matter of, honestly, your budget and your overall strategy. So I feel like we used to be able to just kind of jump into conversion ads and just jump into adding people to our list. And you can still do that, but it's going to be a lot pricier than it used to be. And so really like having a heavy focus on building what's called like a warm audience of people through engagement ads, through video ads, through all of these other ways, through pushing people to your blog or onto your website to, you know, order your podcast or whatever it is, warming people up the best that you can through ads is going to long-term cut down on your costs because you're going to have people who already know, like, and trust you before you go trying to put them onto your list. So, you know, that may seem like marketing 101 in a lot of ways because we talk a lot about, you know, getting people to know you first, like through a freebie before you try to sell them on your paid product. I think the same thing applies to ads now even more than ever. So this is something that a lot of people, like if you listen to Rick Mulready or whoever, you know, they talk a lot about sending people to blog posts or things like that before trying to get them onto your list. But this is just like hyped up even more, I've seen over the last, especially 6 months even, than it used to be. You know, I used to be able to run an ad personally, like for conversions to my list for my mom's stuff. and I would get conversions at like literally 50 cents a person, like 2 or 3 years ago. And now it's like, oh, if it's under $5, I feel good, you know, when I'm going towards a cold audience. So a cold audience is someone who has never heard of you before.
So you're saying I can't like target like Marie Forleo's audience with like a $2,000 course and a sales page ad and be like, why isn't this converting? Or like, why don't they want to get on a free call with me? It's free. What's wrong with these people?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially if you're sending someone to a sales page or you're trying to get someone to book a call with you, something that I would say is like a pretty big ask. And sometimes a free call is actually an even bigger ask than asking someone to buy something if it's a low ticket item. So sometimes it might be easier to get someone to actually buy something if it's like $19 or like $20 versus getting on a call with you, because that's people's time and people value their time even more than money a lot of ways. So you're going to really have to warm people up and get them to know you, or you're going to have to literally have the very best copy in the entire world that has ever existed.
Right? But yeah. Why don't you just save your money, guys? Why don't you just save your money and do what Morgan says? So I have one last question for you before you heard of parting wisdom that you've got for us. Definitely let us know about any free gifts and where I can hang out with you and how we can have you worrying about Facebook ads for us so we don't have to. Because guys, we didn't even get to talk about, like Morgan said, like retargeting or different types of audiences or like analytics. Like there's so many layers to Facebook ads that we couldn't cover, but I wanted to give you a really strong base. And one thing that we're trying to really work on here in 2019, besides just giving logistical tactical, is actually dealing with like mindset and like those little inner things that can be holding people back. So here's my question for you, especially when it comes to running ads and people putting themselves out there more. How do you handle like negative comments for like your own personal ads or your clients, or do you not like get them that often? Like how does one, do we just sort of like delete them, block them? Do we try to interact with them? What would you suggest?
I think the number one thing that I want people to think about anytime that they're using social media as a whole or running Facebook ads is think about how you as a person use that platform. So if you're a client or you're a customer and you see a Facebook ad, and you click into the comments and you see negative comments, how would you want that company to respond? And usually for me personally, if there is a negative comment, as long as the company looks like they actually care about what that person's saying and they want to find a resolution with them or help them out in some way, then I feel fine with going ahead and using that company or working with that person. That said, this only applies to actual, actually like legitimate negative comments versus things that are like abusive or just mean. Those, just delete them. Like you don't even need to keep them on there. You can delete comments that are mean, abusive, or are just not something that you want to have associated. But say you have like a client who, or a customer who has an issue with not being able to get in touch with customer service or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, reply to them, and when you're running ads, be sure that you are monitoring the ad. So when there are comments, you can reply to them. Reply to the comment and just let them know, like put your email address down or ask them for their email address and let them know that you're going to get in touch with them as soon as possible or within like 12 hours or 8 hours or right now, whatever it is, like just respond to that person in the way that you, if you were that person, if you were a customer, would want to be handled, right? Like it's very basic. It's like do unto others kind of thing. But the truth is that like overall, if I'm thinking about all the ads that I've run over the years now, less than a handful of times have I seen actual negative comments. It honestly doesn't happen that often with me and my clients. And one time, for example, when it did, people who were big fans of my client and her page and had a long-term relationship with her and had been following her for a while actually were the ones who jumped in and handled it.
So now that we want to rely on our customers, that's so awesome that they're heeding the call and be like, check yourself, fool.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, I just think that's a testament to what we were talking about before, which is like working on and focusing on building that relationship with the people that you want to work with, because a lot of times those are the people who are going to share your stuff. And when they do see an ad come across their feed, even if they already know and love you, they're going to comment on it to like give you that extra little boost and that extra little social proof. So, you know, whether it's social media in general, whether it's your business in general, whether it's your email list, whether it is Facebook ads, like having that long-term view and treating people how you want to be treated, like that is so important to your success long-term. So, and sorry if you hear Carolyn in the background. She's just talking to herself. It's my 4-year-old.
That's okay, y'all. And this is why we love Inbox Besties, because we can run businesses that let us have our children. I have literally shooed away mine, who is homesick, like 8 times at the door, like, no, no, no. We'll talk later. We'll talk later. Well, thank you so much, Morgan. Where can people reach out to you? Where can they find out more about all the amazingness that is Morgan? And we also, guys, I put a link in the show notes, one of the first ones, to Morgan's actual podcast, Mom Uprising. So I'd love to hear more about that and then where people can hang out with you online.
Yeah, so momuprising.com is like the first place to find me. And honestly, I'm putting even my social media, my Facebook ads, all under one umbrella there right now, just to make it a lot simpler for people. So if you want to find me at all, go to momuprising.com, and all the info on the podcast is right there. You'll see it right at the main navigation bar. Yay, thank you for having me. I always love chatting with you and listening to the podcast. So thank you so much for having me.
For being on the show today. And when you are ready to either stop DIYing it, or maybe you have been doing Facebook ads for a while and you're ready to scale up, that is definitely the time to give a Morgan a call. Since she is a ninja, she knows all the good tricks. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Bye. Was that an amazing interview or what? Oh, I love Morgan, and we're definitely going to have her back here on the show to talk about Facebook ads and have another coffee chat episode with Morgan that I think is going to happen. But I really just want to go ahead and wrap up some of the key points that Morgan had on about. First of all, you need to know your own audience. Like Morgan said, even though all those other Facebook ad gurus are going to tell you video, 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 if your people are not going to listen to videos with the sound on, then why bother? So go ahead and have those long, touchy-feely posts if that's what works for your particular audience. And test, guys, test, test, test. Always make sure that you have a plan when you plan on giving Zuckerberg money. So don't just hit that boost post button if you're like, oh, but I really wish people would see this more. Actually know the reasoning behind it. And actually add fuel to the fire of things that are burning bright with no money to see magic happen when you actually put a couple of dollar bills behind it. So remember, guys, head on over to morganbatista.com/7mistakes, where she's going to go into depth over 4 more issues that you might be stumbling upon in your business when you decide to run Facebook ads. I'm always Kate Doster of katedoster.com, and I will be in your ear holes next week. Later days.
Thank you for having Inbox Besties in your ear holes today. Why don't we make it a regular thing? Go ahead and slap that subscribe button now. And for even more free, value-soaked resources and a community of online entrepreneurs that actually get it, head on over to katedoster.com/group to unlock your free membership to the Super Friends Secret Lair. And if you were one of my action takers listening over here on iTunes, thanks! Make sure that you leave a rating and review. Before you leave, I know it seems teeny tiny, but it makes a big world of difference in me being able to provide you with more dangerously practical tips and tricks for turning internet randos into subscribers with benefits. Later days.